right. Good to be here for Empowered Youth Chapel kickoff. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. We're going to start with three verses today. I've never preached a message on this subject before, this entire topic, so I hope it flies today. But I think you'll understand where we're going in just a moment here. Let's begin in chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. There again, verse number 2, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. No, I'm not teaching on suicide. I'm preaching on appetite. And so the title of the message is simply a question. How's your appetite? How's your appetite? Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'll bless this time. Use your word, Lord. There's a lot to say and a little bit of time to get it done. Pray you guide my mind. Prepare our hearts, Lord. You've got something for us from the Scriptures. I know that. And I just pray that you'd help me to get it across clearly, help each one to stay alert, attentive, and that you'll bless in our time today. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. What do you think of first when you hear the word appetite? Food, right? That's what I think of. In fact, even our text mentions that. It talks about food, but it deals with a lot more. The word appetite is defined as a desire to satisfy any bodily need or craving, desire or liking for something, fondness or taste. In short, an appetite is your desire. It's a longing. It's something you really want. And everybody has appetites. Some are good. Some are bad. I'm not sure how many kinds of appetites there are in the world. I kind of put together three different basic categories. I put one, survival. I think there's survival appetites. Things that our bodies need to live. Food, water, college students, sleep. They haven't been doing that lately in the last several nights trying to get ready for the skits that go on tonight. The skits would be good, except they're going to be sleeping when they're trying to, you know, be like, forgetting their lines and all that. So you can laugh at them. It'll be fun. There's different kind of appetites. There's survival appetites. And I think that there's spiritual appetites. This is a longing to be closer to God, to be more holy. I wish more people had this kind of an appetite. Jesus spoke about it on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. Does that describe you? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? You want more of the Word of God. You want to get more out of your devotions. You want to have better devotions. You came to Empowered Youth. That fun stuff, that's okay, but I really want the Bible. Yeah, I'm sure, right? But really, that's an appetite that God wants us to have. Then there's another kind of appetite. I think there's survival. There's spiritual. Then there's sensual appetites. These are carnal appetites, cravings that please the flesh, longings for things of the world. What's another word in the Bible that is used to describe desires? Lust. Lust is an unlawful desire for sinful pleasure. It's not always sexual sins, but it is a carnal desire. It's all about pleasing the flesh. And so lusts are very powerful appetites, and these are appetites that are often fed by most people. For the Christian, you know, survival, we got to have that one. We understand that appetite. The second one, the spiritual appetite, that ought to be right up there. But unfortunately, let's be honest, those are not the appetites that control the average young person, are they? The average young person, I really believe, really struggles the most with that last section, that last group. Those sensual, those worldly desires, those appetites for the things of the world. And I've seen a lot of teenagers, I've seen a lot of college students mess their lives up by feeding and following and going after the wrong kind of appetites. So I want to talk about that today. Now, I know there's probably three different kind of groups of people in here today. There's probably some who really care, and there's some who used to care, and there's probably a couple that really don't care about what we have to say here. And I hope that something that is spoken this morning will be used as a warning, that some, because there are some who think that they've got everything under control, and they really don't. There's a lot of people who think that they don't really have a problem with the world. But we look and see it's right there. And I hope that today that God will use this. And so I want to see here, just three simple little points. And I want to hope it'll help. First one is this. Appetites are followed. Appetites are followed. You know, a lot of people, their appetite gets a little out of control when they realize they got to turn back a little bit, and so they go on a diet, and then they give up on their diet. Why? Because they follow their what? They're following their appetite. Some of you, staying up late, getting ready for skits, your body needs sleep. It really wants to sleep. And some of you have already nodded off in chapel, and we've just gotten started. Okay, your first hour class, I was with some of you your first hour class. And I don't know how you're going to do anything on the quiz that we have next because you didn't get any notes. But why do you want to sleep right now? You are following an appetite. It's a survival appetite. You're craving sleep. I'll be honest with you. After I taught, I had to go back and just stretch out on my lazy boy for a little bit and get ready for this because I was already shot, wiped out, nothing left. And I figured I got to get recharged because I have to go try to entertain people who aren't even wanting to be awake right now. And so, you know, the body needs to sleep. It wants to sleep. It's craving sleep. And when you get hungry, man, what happens when you're really hungry for a cheeseburger? Oh, man. You go to Pizza Hut, right? No! You don't go to Pizza Hut when you're craving a cheeseburger. Where do you go? You drive around. Now, that's going to be debatable. Some are going to go to Five Guys. Some are going to go to Culver's. Some are going to go to different places. But you're going to drive around and find the best hamburger place around, right? Because you're going to follow your appetite, right? I mean, we do that a lot. We're just driving down the road. What am I hungry for? And you drive by like 15 different places and say, well, that's not that one, not that one. You're following your appetite. We do that. When a person gets closer to God, he can't wait to come to chapel. He can't wait to get the toothpicks open. Keep those eyes. No, he can't wait to get into the Word of God. He loves to read the Bible. Now, when someone has an appetite for the world, he's going to follow the world. He's going to seek out worldliness. You can come to Empowered Youth, and you know what? There's going to be some worldly people here. And you know who the worldly people are going to find, they're going to hook up with? The worldly people. Because they gravitate. They're going to follow their appetite. They've got an appetite for the world. And they get around a bunch of spiritual people and say, wow, look at all these spiritual people. Aren't there anybody here like me? And they kind of look around and say, oh, yeah, there's one right there. There's another. Oh, yeah. Hey, man. Hey, let's get the idea. And it just kind of, they get together. Why? Because they follow their appetites. And the Bible says in James 1:14, but every man is tempted. Would you turn to James chapter 1 with me? Let's do that. See, we all have appetites. We're going to follow those survival ones. And sometimes it's really hard to tell those appetites no, right? When you're really, really hungry and when you're really, really tired and you can't sleep and you're really hungry and you can't eat right now. I mean, it's really hard. But, you know, these spiritual appetites, we ought to be loving God, and sometimes we don't have that appetite. Can I say this too? Sometimes appetites are acquired. Sometimes you have to just start eating something before you start liking it. And it might have to be that way with the Bible. It might have to be that way with prayer. I remember when I gave up all my horrible rock music. I smashed all my albums. You don't know what albums are, but that was back in the day. Okay, so I break all my albums, and we still used cassette tapes back then too. And I destroyed those. And then there was this big void in my life because I got rid of all this worldly stuff, and I really liked music. And I was like, well, I got to have music. No one ever taught me the principle of replacement. You've got something bad, replace it with something good. But I kind of figured it out that I still like music and I needed music. And I was like, well, I got this church music. So I got a couple of quartet CDs. They didn't have CDs. Cassette tapes, you know. Just simple little quartet music. And I'm thinking, okay, I can learn to like this, I think. And I had to develop an appetite. Why? Because I was so carnal. But it didn't really take that long to start liking the things of God because the Holy Spirit was in me. But the problem is a lot of people don't have that appetite. They got the appetite. Yeah, I can deal with the little bit of sacred music, but give me some of this secular stuff too. Give me more of that. And so we get a problem. So we're in James chapter number 1. Look in verse number 14. It says, but every man is what? Tempted. You think that's our problem. That's not our problem. Temptation is not our problem. It tells us when we're tempted. When he is drawn away of his own what? Lust and enticed. So notice that every man has a problem. Every person has bad appetites. Every pastor, every youth pastor, every one of your parents, we all have bad appetites. Say, really? Yeah. And so when we come down on you and we're hard on you and we say, hey, watch out for this, we're not just talking, we're talking about battles we've had to face ourselves and trying to help you out with those battles. And what is this problem that every man has? It is, the Bible says right there, his own what? Lust. His own desire. His own appetite. We all have wrong appetites. And what does this lust do? It draws him away from God towards temptation. It says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. That word, that phrase drawn away means to literally to drag forth. So it's not the temptation that gets you. It is your lust, it is your appetite that says, hey, see that temptation over there? It grabs onto you and it pulls you to this temptation. It says, here, partake of this. It's not the temptation. It's you. It's me. It's wrong desires. It's appetites that are unlawful according to the Word of God. And so your appetites for worldly things, they grab you, they lead you. And in the end, those appetites kill you. And they kill your spiritual life and sometimes even your physical life. In James chapter 1, verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 13. Let's see a guy who followed his appetites. I think you know who he is, and I think you know how it ended up. Didn't end up very well. Now, I'm going to try to stick close to my notes so I can get done. If I get away from my notes, we're going to be here for a while, and we can't do that. Genesis 13, look in verse number 10. You know who this is. This is Lot. The Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. We know what happened. There's a strife between Lot's herdmen and Abram's herdmen. And Abram said, hey, you pick where you want to go, and I'll go the other way. So Lot looks up to his eye. He sees this great well-watered plain. Well, you know, if it's well-watered, it's got good grass, good for your cattle. So that's why he wanted. Then verse 11 says, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, And Lot, as you've probably heard many sermons before, dwelled in the cities of the plain and did what? He pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were what? Wicked. And sinners before the Lord. How? Exceedingly. So, what was Lot's focus? It was Sodom. You know, he pitched his tent there. What's the first thing he saw when he woke up and left his tent? Sodom. When he went back into his tent and he was closing the curtains or the door or however they had it, what's the last thing he saw before he went to bed? Sodom. So pitching his tent toward Sodom, it wasn't just a nice spiritual application we can make. It really did affect him. He was looking in that direction. And the Bible said that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Do you think Lot knew that? I think he did. Do you know where the most dangerous neighborhoods are around you? Okay, if we're in Chesterton, do we know the most dangerous neighborhoods in 30 minutes from here? Some of you are laughing like, yeah. All right, some of you live in Chicago. Do you think you could take me to some of the more dangerous neighborhoods pretty quickly? Oh, yeah. Why? Because you know. Lot knew that these people were bad, but he still had his tent pitched there. He wasn't there, but he just pitched it there. Now, I want you to see Genesis chapter 14, verse number 12. The next time we see Lot, he wasn't in the plain anymore. Where was he? The Bible says, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in where? He dwelt in Sodom. He was just looking at it. But you see, the problem is he had an appetite for what? The world. And what did he do? He followed his appetite. You have a little bit of appetite for the world, you're going to go for that worldliness. That's what he did. He followed his appetite. And some of you have a worldly appetite for different things, and you better beware of that. And don't forget that Lot, by the way, was actually a good man. No. Yeah. He left Ur of the Chaldees with Abram. He traveled to Haran and with Abram. And he went then to Canaan with Abram. The Bible says in 2 Peter that he was a just man. And it also says he was a righteous man. That means he was a man of faith. He was a saved man. Like some of you. He did well when he was with someone good like Abram. He got away from Abram. And what happened? He started following his appetites. Some people do pretty fine when they're at home with their mom and dad and the youth group, youth pastor. They go off to college, they go off to work, they go off to different places, they go different things, and pretty soon, hey, I can do what I want. There's no one here to control my appetites. Now, that's supposed to be you at this point. That's supposed to be you to step up to the plate and say, I'm gonna do what I'm supposed to do. Now, does that describe you? You're saved. You do well when mom and dad are around, your youth pastor's around. As soon as you get away from authority, you gravitate toward the world. You know what's right, but you're just not going to do it. Now, do you think Lot planned on living in Sodom? I don't think so. He had flocks. If you live in a city, there's not many places to put a bunch of herds, a herd of flocks, is there? Or a herd of animals. So I don't think when he set his tent that way that he planned on living there. He wanted to take care of his animals. But pretty soon, some of the important things in life weren't so important. I don't know what happened to his animals, but I can tell you they weren't in downtown Sodom. Okay? They were probably still out in the plain, but he wasn't there anymore. He left them probably with his herdmen. He wanted to be in Sodom. You give up a lot of responsibilities when you're chasing the world. Now, has the same thing happened to you? Chasing after things? He had no idea that that a little interest in the world would lead them so far from God. I'll tell you, that's what happens. That's how the devil gets us. I just got a little desire. I've got a little appetite. And you follow it, and you're gonna fall to it. The Bible says, you know the verse, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in it. But we love things. We love the world. And that's what gets us into problems. I see some good young people pitching their tent toward Sodom. I see it in their hairstyles. Guys, if you've got to spend so much time in the mirror primping to get ready to go to school or go off somewhere, you've got some issues. But just look at some of the boys' hairdos today. They're all kind of going the same way. It's, you know, they really work at it. You say you're talking about me? Maybe. What's the problem? Just got a little appetite. And what happens? Then it's just become a little trend. So a couple of college boys do something one way, and then some of the high school boys got to do the same way. Let me just... Some of the girls have to do something with their hair the same way. And then, it's like, what on earth? You know, I get up, I just try to keep the hair down, you know? I just try to not look like a total doofus when I leave the house. That's my point. I'm not trying to look cool, and I've probably succeeded pretty well at that, haven't I? Oh, no, but makeup. You know? Well, I was like, whoa, okay. I mean, there's some people you just wonder, I wonder what you look like in real life. What do you look like when you wake up in the morning? Dress fads. You know, it's always got to be the latest name brand. The tennis shoes, the collars. You know, I remember when Under Armour was the real big thing. I mean, you had to have an Under Armour hoodie. I mean, you had to. You had to have, what is it, the Storm Chaser? Or I don't even know what the... You got to have the one that's like not water resistant, but what's waterproof. And, you know, it's not stink proof because some of you really... sweat up those things pretty well. But it's just, I got to have everything. The world influences us. It really does. People are a lot like trees. You know, a tree will fall the way it leans. And so will you. If you're leaning toward the world, you're going to fall that way. By the way, you know, a worldly guy, you say, well, I got a little appetite for the world. You know what kind of appetite you're going to have for a young lady? A worldly young lady. And you know what kind of children you're going to have? Worldly children. And you're going to have a worldly marriage. And you're probably going to go into a worldly church. Well, I just have a little bit of appetite. Why don't you squash that appetite and do something about it? The point is, the first point... was that their appetites are followed. The second point is this. Appetites are fed. Oh, yeah. I love Lay's potato chips. I think these might be the best ever made. I don't know. But these are... Anybody else like potato chips? Plain potato chips? I mean, Lay's. These aren't Aldi, okay? Now, at home, I eat Aldi because it's cheaper. But I said, no, I need this for an illustration. Honey, go buy some Lay's. Go find them on sale somewhere, but get some Lay's. You know what I'm saying? You can spend money when it's for spiritual matters. And so, you know, back in the 80s, they had this, they had a marketing scheme. And it was, Brother Bob, you probably remember, nobody can eat just one. Now, they modified that a little bit. I think they came out a few years ago. They had some more commercials, and it says, bet you just can't eat one. Why? Because once you take one of these light golden morsels, I mean, the oil is just, it's just, it's fresh, you know. And the salt just makes your tongue tingle. Anybody hungry yet? I mean, it is really difficult to eat one. I could, just to prove that I could. But why would you want to prove it? You know what I'm saying? You take one, it's like, man, I got to have another one. There's some chocolates that are that way, right? It's like, oh, man. Oh, man. I'll just have another. I'll just have one more. I know I'm watching my weight. I'm watching it go on. I'm just going to have one more. Yep. Bet you just can't eat it. Why? Because it's really hard to stop something once you start it. You know, drunkards start with one drink. You know, I've had to tell many people, you want how to get over your drinking? Don't pick up the bottle. Oh, you want how to never have a problem with it? Don't pick it up in the first place. But it is very difficult to put it down. Ask someone who has had to try. Fornicators start with one time of just holding a hand. That's how they started. They weren't planning to go to Sodom. They were just pitching their tent that way. All right. It started just by a little touch. Appetite. Ooh. And that appetite wants to be fed. And then you feed it. No, you're not far down the sin. All you did was just a little touch. But that was just the beginning. And that's where it started with so many who have lost their purity. And they've lived with that the rest of their life. And if they wanted to live for God, it keeps coming back to their minds. What happens when you begin to feed something? It begins to grow, doesn't it? Right? If I keep eating, I'm going to keep growing. If I feed an appetite for sin, that appetite will keep growing. A thief starts by taking something one time. Someone who gets hooked on porn saw something for the first time and wanted to see something again and again. So when a person has an appetite for the world, let me ask you a question. Do they become more godly or more wicked? More wicked. They become more worldly. And what happens when a person develops an appetite for sensual pictures? He looks at magazine covers in the store. That's how he starts. Does he stop there? No, then he wants to see what's inside the magazine. Then he's like, that's kind of embarrassing for people to see me, so I'll just look online. Oh, yeah. And he begins to feed that appetite. All it was just, hey, I was attracted to this. And they got into a whole lot deeper than they ever expected to. Can I tell you something? The Bible's still true. Proverbs 27:20, the eyes of man are never satisfied. So don't even try. So if I just touch this, if I just taste this, if I just look at this, if I just go there once, you're never going to be satisfied. That appetite is going to grab you, and you're going to want more and more and more and more, and you're going to go further and further and further into sin. Appetites. Appetites. Ecclesiastes 6:7, it says, all the labor of a man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. Now let's get back to Lot. Turn with me to Genesis 19. I got to move. Genesis 19. So he pitched his tent toward Sodom. That's where he started. But then he was in Sodom. And now here we see in chapter 19, verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. It says that he sat in the gate of Sodom. Let me tell you this. Lot learned to fit in with the heathen. He just learned to fit in. He probably felt a little uncomfortable at first, like we feel with sin the first time we do something. It's a little bit of apprehension. But the more you do it, the more comfortable you feel. You begin to acquire a taste for something that you knew was wrong, but now it's not so bad. Lot wasn't just content to live in Sodom. He became part of the culture. No, he didn't turn into a homosexual like a lot of the guys there. But he did sit in the gate of the people. The gate of the people in the evening, they said, some say where it was a place of entertainment. It was a place of trade during the day. It was a place of justice where people went to have trials and stuff like that. So he actually was sitting in the gate. He was fitting in with the people. And he didn't stay to himself. He wasn't in some community some far away. No. He wasn't trying to stay isolated so he could influence them for the Lord. That's not why he was in Sodom. He was in Sodom and he was fitting in. And then we see that he became influenced by the heathen. We know that the Sodomites tried to take the angels. And look at in verse 7 of chapter 19. I mean, he's even talking spiritually here. He said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. He's telling the Sodomites, don't try to take these angels. I mean, that's wicked. Then look at the next verse. Now behold, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Now he's just talking like he's all spiritual. Don't do wickedly, but you can have my daughters. Was that not wickedness? My point is this. A lot of times, people think they're just fine and they're spiritual. They talk spiritual. They act spiritual. And they're just as worldly as everybody else. And they don't even see it. And you got your mom and dad. And you got your youth pastor. You got your pastor come up and talk to you about it. And you look at them like they're some, you know, from Mars or something. I don't know what you're talking about, my hair. I don't know what you're talking about, my makeup. I don't know what you're talking about, my music. My music's fine. No. Those angels, you know what the word angel means? It means a messenger. God sent a messenger to get a hold of Lot because he was affected by his appetites and he had an appetite for the world. And you know what? He didn't want to leave, did he? He didn't want to listen to the messengers. Well, the messengers kind of knew he had a problem. And so do the messengers who God sends to you. I want you to listen up. How many times does your mom or dad or your pastor or your youth pastor have to say something before it sinks into your head? Maybe I shouldn't do this? Yeah, maybe you shouldn't. He became influenced. He was just like the heathen. And when you follow the world, you can be deceived into thinking you're still spiritual because you're not exactly like them. But you're more like them than you can ever imagine. In verse 14, we see that Lot went out to speak to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons. They just thought he was mocking about God's judgment. No one took him seriously. He didn't have any kind of spiritual walk. And no one takes you spiritually seriously when you talk spiritually. Lot's appetites caused him to lose everything. He lost his business. He lost his home. He lost his wife. He lost his daughters. They got him drunk. And he fathered his own children, which were his grandchildren. And they became the Moabites and the Ammonites. How wicked, how sick. He ruined everything. Why? Because he had an appetite. He followed the appetite. He fed the appetite. By the way, how do you feed the appetite? And I got to finish here. Turn with me to 2 Peter 2:8. 2 Peter 2:8. And I'm going to finish up here. It says, for that righteous man dwelling among them in what? Seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You see that? Seeing and hearing. Can I tell you what will get you to your appetites to grow for the world? Seeing and hearing. And there's nothing that'll let you see or hear more of the world than that right there. And some of you are glued to this. You're attached to it. You can't live without it. Seeing and hearing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You plug them in. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Seeing and hearing. You better watch what you're looking at. You better watch what you're listening to. In my day, there was a hard rock band called Kiss. It was demonic, straight demonic. They had one song that was a ballad. And all the girls, it was a love song. All the girls liked that. But what did that do? It just gave them an appetite for the rest of their music. Here's how it works with a lot of our youth. They like sacred music. But because sacred's okay, they like classical. And classical's okay because, you know, it's not bad. But then they like, okay, well, if classical's good, so I can have some classical-sounding soundtracks. Those are okay. Then I can have some soundtracks that aren't so classical, but now they're not so much classical. They're getting a little further away, aren't they? Then I've got some soundtracks that now I've got some little music. There's a little bit of songs, a little bit of words, a little bit of, yeah, a little bit of slipping and sliding, but it's not horrible, 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 but you're on a slippery slope. You're developing this appetite. And pretty soon, you're further on down than you ever thought. You better be careful not to feed your appetites. My last point is just this, and I can't even give it to you. Run from your appetites. Appetites are actually to be frustrated. You need to run. You need to restrain them. Put a knife to your throat. You know what that means? Control your appetite. That means you can. Paul put it this way. I die daily. Every day I have to say, nope, I can't do that. Nope, I can't go there. I can't look at that. And we better get a hold of our appetites. And if you got a problem with something, you better kill that appetite. Because it's going to kill you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you will help each young person here to consider their life. Lord, we all have appetites. Help us to look and make sure we're feeding the spiritual ones. And Lord, help us to starve and run from those carnal appetites. Lot should have, but he didn't. He had to be dragged out of Sodom. Because he wanted to stay there. Lord, help us to realize we're going to go further down that road than we ever thought. Help someone who's playing with and dabbling with some kind of sin that they need to get rid of now before it's too late. We ask in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And if God spoke to you about something, an appetite, why don't you come and talk to the Lord about it?